If you have your Bibles this morning, we want to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 13. I was thinking this week, as we were praying about what the Lord would have us to preach on today, about how the Lord seems like He does things, at least for me, it seems like things in my life move fast and it seems like they move slow. A lot of times in my life, it seems like it takes a year of things to progress or to come around. I was thinking it took us a little over a year to build this building. And we've, April the 1st, I guess that's in about 50 days or so, we'll have been in here for 1 year. And seems like a whole lot less than that. Seems like it's been about a month or two to me. A year's already gone by almost. And I begin to pray about, and Lord laid on my heart, what have we done with this year that God has given us in this new building? And certainly we are very thankful to be here. Church is not about buildings, it's about people, and it's about the Lord Jesus Christ exalting His name above every other name. And it's talking about the people coming together under the unity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so begin to wonder and think about in the last year, what have we done for the glory of God? Begin to think about my own walk with Him, if I'm closer this year than I was last year. And I wonder, you know, maybe for some of you Sunday school teachers, you could look at your class and say, are we growing? Not necessarily whether you're growing in number or not, but whether you're growing deeper in the Word of God. Begin to ask that statement in my own family. Begin to, not only in my own life, but in my own family and for our church, I wonder, are we growing deeper in the Word of God? And the Lord began to lay this thought on my heart. I began to think that April 1st, we'll have been here a year in this building, and I'll have been here 7 years at the church, and seven is the Lord's number. It's a number of completion. It's a number of perfection to the Lord. And begin to think about in those 7 years, God, what have I done with those 7 years that You gifted me with to be at the Bethel Baptist Church? And begin just to play a lot of things in my heart, in my mind over the last week or so. And even begin to think about for Gina and I, Brother Kenneth, we'll be married 20 years in just a few days. And 20 years, that's a short time. My grandpa, he turned 90 yesterday. Brother Damon turned 90 years old back in January. Appreciate their experience and their leadership. But you'll see what I mean. Right now you think, preacher, you're speaking in parables. Well, you'll see what I mean here in just a minute. I want you to look in your own life in the last year or so at some goings-ons and some happenings that's going on right now in your life. If you'd stand with me, we'll read these verses together in Luke chapter number 13, verse number 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Those are some scary verses to me. I don't know what the Lord, if He ministers anything to you as you read it, but those verses are very serious and very scary to me. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. And we do appreciate, Father, the challenge of Your Word that lies before us. Father, I pray that You would help us this morning, that we might have enlightenment and wisdom and understanding concerning these words. I pray, God, You would speak to hearts today. Might be someone underneath the sound of our voice, Lord, that needs to hear from heaven. And I pray, God, not hear from Darren, but God, they'd be hearing the voice of God through Darren. And I pray, God, You'd help us this morning, Father, as we stand before this people, Father, to offer just our voice, to just be a mouthpiece from glory. And I pray, God, You'd inspire us of the sweet Holy Spirit today to speak. Lord, we ask Your help this morning
For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated this morning. There are a few things here that we see. First of all, we see a fig tree. I believe that that fig tree is representative of Israel, as it always is throughout the Scriptures, but it is also representative of the kingdom of God. It is representative of the church. It is representative of the family. It is representative of an individual, those that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see a fig tree. Automatically, second of all, about this fig tree, we want to see that fruit is sought off of this fig tree. Understand, this fig tree, the Bible says, was planted in this certain man's vineyard. Now, fig trees, they grow in a lot of different places all over the Middle East there. But when you notice about a fig tree being planted in a vineyard, that tells me that someone had the forethought to go out looking for a specific tree and dug it up, lifting it, bringing it back to his own yard, if you'll say, or his own vineyard, and specifically planted it there, pushed the soil in around it and give it a fertile place to be. And I begin to think about the fact that this person that went out and selected that vineyard, he specifically chose that fig tree for his vineyard. May I say to you this morning, Christian friend, Christian brother or sister, that you are specifically chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ to be in His kingdom. He went out in search of you, and He came to that place in which you were dwelling. You were dwelling in sin, and He dug you up. Amen. He came where you were, and He dug you up and lifted you out of that miry clay. And He brought you back to a place, the house of God, the kingdom of God, to His church, and specifically planted you in a vineyard. There He wants you to bear fruit for His glory. So He expects to see fruit on that fig tree. After all, He has placed it in the best fertile soil that the fig tree could possibly ever expect. You realize today you're in the best place, that some of you are in the best place in your life that you could ever be right now. You have the favor of God. You have the very walls of protection. I think about a vineyard over in the Middle East. A lot of times they would have fortified walls around their vineyard so that wild animals couldn't come in or some terrorists couldn't come in and trash their place. You realize this morning that God has around you fortified walls? The devil can't touch you unless God lets him. You've been highly favored. You've been given divine protection this morning. You've got a wall of grace that surrounds you today. Glory to God for that. And then He, as being able to be the Creator God, He makes sure that He puts just enough sunshine in your life and yet just enough rain that you might bear fruit for His glory. You might say this morning that He's provided for us. God's given us a good place to be today. A place where we can come and hear the gospel. A place in our lives where we can hear the Word of God. He has given you a good place to be. He's given you a wonderful family and given you friends and given you blessing after blessing. Clothes on your back and food that you might be able to eat. God has been good to His fig tree. He's been good to His fig tree. You do not believe that God's been good. You just begin to look around and you see how good God's been to you. Oh, you may see a little sickness and you may see this problem and that problem. But I guarantee you when you start counting your problems and then you start adding up the blessings of God, it'll tip the scale. Really, we don't have any problems compared to how good God has been to us this morning. He's provided for us. Understand, when He came to this vineyard and looked at this fig tree, He had come 3 years before looking for fruit. He's been expecting fruit. And after all, He ought to expect fruit. Look at all He's done for that fig tree. Should His eye not be upon it? Should He not expect to see fruit upon it? Absolutely, He should expect to see fruit upon His fig tree. But when He gets there, He sees this fig tree, and the Bible says He sought fruit thereon, and He found none. He found none. And He's got one person who the Bible says is a dresser of the vineyard. That dresser of the vineyard has done everything that he could possibly do to ensure that this fig tree would bear fruit. That dresser of the vineyard is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given you more care than you'd ever deserved. He loves you more than you could ever merit. He's done everything. In fact, he's done more than enough for this church to bear fruit for the glory of God. For you, friend, as an individual, to bear fruit for the glory of God. He's addressed every situation in your life, and he'll continue to do so. He's been good to you, and God expects fruit in your life. Now we see thirdly this morning that when he got there, he found that tree fruitless. And quickly he said this. He said, I want you to take that tree and cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? That tree has been found fruitless. One thing about a fig tree, before its leaves ever pop out, the fruit of the fig tree, the figs themselves, will begin to manifest themselves. When that owner of the vineyard, who had done so much, who had chosen it and cared for it and protected it and provided for it, when he got there, after 3 different years being there, again this year, no figs. All it is leafy green. It looks healthy. I mean, it's great big, it's covering the ground, but there's just leaves everywhere. No fruit. It is barren. I want to say to y'all this morning, there's church after church throughout the United States of America that is barren this morning when I speak about fruit. Now, I want to say to the Bethel Baptist Church, you've been in this new building for almost 1 year. Does God have a reason to walk into this church and look at the fig tree and expect fruit? I'm asking the question. Is it unreasonable? Is God being unfair to you to ask, after all he's done for you, that you'd bear just a little fruit for his glory? Does he have any reason whatsoever this morning to expect that you just can't do it? And he's just not been good enough to you for you to bear glory. You just ought to praise him and ought to lift up your voice, but you just can't hardly do that. It's amazing, you'll go to work on Monday and cuss a blue streak. You can do that. Hello? You can do that, but you won't praise him. Let me say something about fruit this morning in this church. I like to keep records. I told you when I was a kid, I kept records of all the preachers that preached and what they preached and where it was. And man, I still got a lot of those documents. I love to keep records. While I've been over here at this church, I've kept record of every Sunday school attendance, of every Sunday night attendance, of every Sunday morning attendance, of every offering. I've tracked every number I knew to track. Since we've been in this church and this new building right here, God has saved 42 souls. God said to me, son, I expect to see some fruit out of that church. You've been in that building almost a year. Where's the fruit? And I said, well, God, here's 42 souls. God said, that's not fruit. Yeah, I did the same thing you just did. What? Can I read you something? Will you listen? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The fruit of the Spirit is those 9 attributes. God said, not in one of them was salvation mentioned. I asked for fruit. You said there's 42 saved. You didn't save any of them. Tell me what you did, boy. Nothing, Lord. He said, I saved 42 people. I didn't have to save anybody. But I saved 42. And if you want to see 42 more saved, show me the fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Huh? Are those things present in this church, in your life, Is there fruit that God can see? Can He inspect it today? Oh yeah, there's love. Really? Love for the things of God? For His house? That God has put first in your life? Always? Is there really joy? I mean, why in the world is it this morning you look so sad? Why in the world is it this morning when I'm preaching, you're not just sitting here saying, whoopee, praise God, preach that preacher. That ain't what you're doing. You know why? Joy's lacking. What about peace? You ain't got peace. You worried about the economy? You worried about what the world's going to do, where I'm going to have a job or not? We're literally shaking in our boots. We worry and fret all the time. And as the people of God, we're to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Boy, we're the most impatient crowd there's ever been. Goodness. What happened to being good to people? I don't just mean once in a while. I mean all the time. What about faith? Boy, we live in a faithless generation. Meekness. Ain't nobody meek anymore. Nobody wants to play second fiddle. Everybody, listen, used to we'd get a little wagon and some of the boys in the neighborhood would jump in the wagon and somebody'd say, I'd pull. Boy, we'd pull each other around. But nowadays, everybody wants to ride. Nobody wants to pull anymore. Amen. We don't live in a meek society, amen. We live in a society that wants someone to pat them on the back and appreciate them. Well, I went to church Sunday morning. Well, that's good for you, but we have three services a week. What about temperance? Well, I'll tell you what, nowadays, are we very temperate? I mean, I'm telling you, we live so uncontrollably and so argumentatively and so angrily. Boy, we live in a wicked society in which we're dwelling in today. And when God comes looking at the fruit tree, the fig tree that He's been so good to, it's completely barren. Nothing but leaves. And I got to thinking about those leaves. You remember when Adam and Eve got off into sin? They went and hid themselves and they tied fig leaves together to make aprons for themselves. That was their religion. That was their profession, to hide behind fig leaves. We live in a society where churches are literally leafy green, looking so vibrant, everything looks so good. But really there's no love, joy, peace, long-suffering in that church. I'm telling you what, young people are looking for something that's real. I'm telling you, adults are looking for something that's real. And most of our churches nowadays only want to offer them entertainment packages and activity packages and an eager-eating crowd that wants to go around from this restaurant and then go and eat over yonder. I'm talking about somebody wants to have the power of God on the church again. That's what God's looking for in His house, is their fruit. Well, it should bear fruit. All this stuff's been done for it. But for some reason, it just can't develop it. It's become so big. And all it does is it just drains all the moisture away. His word was that it cumbers the ground. That means that it's kind of overtaken the ground. It takes all the goodness of the soil, all the rain, and all the sunshine away from everything that's around it. In other words, it gets the glory, but won't bear no fruit. It's income. Give to me. That's what the society we live in. We live in a society that says, give to me, give to my family. You need to do this and you need to do that. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Well, what's income all the time? Sooner or later, there ought to be an outcome. We found out something. Listen to this. You ain't going to like what I'm going to say. It's a terrible illustration. We found out something when our little baby girl was born. She'd go and drink milk. And just in a little while, she'd have a poop. There was an outcome for her income. And that's about the only outcome our churches have nowadays, is the way we mistreat one another. We just use the bathroom on one another. We ignore one another. We're mean-spirited towards one another. There is no real, true, genuine love like there once was in the average church in America. I mean, where the church would love her pastor, where the church would love her choir, where the church would love her Sunday school teachers and her classes and would not wait to get there. But nowadays, they don't care. It's all about what can the church do for me rather than what I can do for the church. Preacher, I don't like that preaching. Let me say this morning. You've been fed well, but you will not feed. You have become a reproach to God. God said, you're big and leafy green, you look so healthy, but you won't bear any fruit. So God said, cut it down. It's just taking up space, taking away glory from my name. When God looks at the fig tree, He's looking for fruit, but what He sees is gossip, slander, hatred, jealousy, malice. Preacher, I don't like it. I'm telling you what, He sees the bitterness of our hearts. That's what God sees. And you may say, well, He's looking at the church as a whole. He's looking at every individual that's a Christian that looks at, that makes up the church. He's looking for fruit in the individual's life as well as a collective whole. And I'm going to tell you what, this morning, God said to me this week, I'm looking for fruit. And I've been looking for it for almost a year. Where's that at? Well, we have good services. Let's just talk. Our choir's good. And we have some good speakers from time to time. And we like to get together and have a good meal. And sometimes we go to Sunday school and we might go out and have a meal somewhere and maybe a get-together and we seem to get along. God said, that ain't what I'm talking about. Is there real love for my house like there ought to be? Well, fruit was sought and we were found fruitless. And He said, I want you to cut it down. But I'm glad that there was one who come to my aid this week. And we'll call him faithful. He's faithful. What's this dresser in verse number 8? He walks up and he says, Lord, let it alone this year also. In other words, you've been merciful before. Be merciful again right now. He says, and let me work with it. He says, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Now, in other words, what he's saying is, God Himself's got an axe ready to chop it down. That's scary. I don't really like that part. But he says, I'm going to shut the doors and send those of you that want to go somewhere, send you to different places. That's what God, yeah. That's scary. And the Lord says, no, wait a minute, Father. Leave it alone this year. Give me a chance to work with it a little further. Let me dig about it. Let me go and cultivate it. Let me minister to it. Let me tend to it. Oh, God come with one that close of chopping us down. The Lord comes and said, let me minister to it. Let me work on it. Let me dig around it a little bit. You didn't realize it this morning, but there's been some digging going around the property. I didn't see anybody that had shovels throwing dirt all the way around the building, but I know that spiritually speaking, He's digging this morning. He's a gouging at somebody's heart right now. You may say, boy, He's gouging my eyes out. No, He's gouging for your heart. He's trying to dig in your heart, trying to dig in your life to get you motivated. He's wanting to minister to you. And He says, then let me dung it. In other words, let me fertilize it. Let me send grace to it. Let me send mercy to it. Let me just bless them. Not that we deserve blessing, because we don't deserve anything. But He says, let me just bless them, Father. And then next year, you'll see. And here we've been in this building about a year. About a year. And are we doing any better? Or are we doing worse than you were a year ago? And I bow my head and I say, I don't know. I have to answer for me. I have to answer for the church as a whole. I've seen great things. God's done good things. When I read these verses and He puts them on my heart, it literally scares me to death. He says, if it bear fruit, well, in other words, we'll rejoice. But he says, if not, then thou shalt cut it down. That means fatally he's going to chop her down. I'm talking this morning to a people. You hear what I'm going to say? I won't praise him. Oh, I'll be a preacher. I will. I won't praise him. I'm going to lift up your hands. Listen how quiet it is. Hardly even say amen. Got quiet. And he's sending the warning out, y'all. And I don't know just exactly what he's liable to do when he says, I'll cut her down. I don't know what he's liable to do, but it scares me. It scares me. It scares me bad. It scares me enough to say, Lord, all I can do is ask for mercy, and then thanks be unto God. Jesus steps out and says, let me work with it one more year, Lord. One more year. You stand to your feet this morning. Preacher, I don't get what you're after this morning. You read me all wrong, friend. I ain't after nothing. Just to give glory to Jesus. He's the one looking for fruit, not me. You can fool me. I'd come look at your life. Man, I could see everything so great. I mean, honest, I'd get to the seed by seeing the leaves. I wouldn't even worry about the fruit. But the great fruit inspector said, I'm just looking for fruit. I'm telling you, whatever Sunday school teacher in this house, you listen to me, you be on red alert. He's looking for fruit in your class. He's looking for fruit. You ought to say, oh God, every one of you, one of teachers, one of commanders, he's looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit in the missions program. Hey, deacons, guess what he's doing today? He's looking for fruit. Yeah, deacon, he's looking for fruit in your life and your family. You sing in the choir, praises unto the Lord. You know what he's doing today? He's looking for fruit. It's a pop test. I didn't come for this. It's either there, it ain't. Boy, if it ain't, somebody ought to run this altar and say, oh God, I need help. You'd bow your head. There's nobody looking this morning. You're a church member. You're a Christian. I mean, you've been chosen by God and put in a specific place. Divine favor, protection, and provisions all over your life. And he's looking for fruit. Say, some of you thinking this morning, that preacher's absolutely crazy. I'm just trying to preach to you what God laid on my little old heart. He's looking for fruit. I'm going to ask someone to come play at the instruments this morning. It might be somebody come say, God, I'm going to present my life up here. And I know I'm going to give account for it one day. And God, the fruit ain't there for me. It ain't there like it needs to be. I'm so sorry. My love's not as genuine as it once was. My joy's not what it used to be. God, I'm so sorry. You've been so good to me. You'd take this time, friend. Run down this old-fashioned altar. I promise you, there's not a woman, not a man, boy or girl, under the sound of my voice that's going to get by when he says, I'm looking for fruit. He's looking for it today in your family, friend, in your life. He's looking for fruit.